Chapter 1. 4.
I'm impressed, Sharp said.
4,000 isn't that much, I said. Mrs. Baker's done better with our store in Leadville.
Yep, but she ain't going to be a literary giant like you.
Jeff Sharp and I lounged on the porch of the St. Charles Hotel in Carson City, Nevada. While Sharp oversaw his mining operations in Belleville, I had spent the winter writing a novel about my adventures in the West. He had driven a buggy into town the previous evening, just in time to enjoy the first decent spring morning. It may have been the warmest day of 1880, but it remained chilly enough for us to wear heavy coats as we sipped our morning coffee. I was pleased to see Sharp again, but not because we jointly owned a general store in Leadville, Colorado. The store was a minor investment, and Mrs. Baker ran it with very little direction from us. I was happy because Sharp's timing was perfect. I had mailed my manuscript to a publisher 2 days earlier, and after spending the winter indoors with fictional characters, I was eager to sit outside and talk to breathing human beings. Sharp shook his head.
I can't believe they gave you $4,000 sight unseen.
They saw 6 chapters before settling on the amount. Besides, they won't deposit the final part of the advance until they approve the complete manuscript. Sharp grinned.
Am I in it?
Jeff, I didn't use real names. But you might recognize a gent named Jeffrey Harper.
Damn it, Steve! You know I hate Jeffrey.
Now I grinned.
I know.
You use Steve Dancy?
Of course not. I'm the author.
Besides, I thought Dancy sounded citified.
What'd you call yourself?
It's fictional.
Okay. What'd you call the hero?
Jeffrey Harper.
Bull.
I smiled. Joseph Steele. Sharp laughed.
I suppose Mr. Steele rid the West of outlaws without any help from Mr. Harper.
I smiled. It'll cost you 2 bits to find out.
Whoa! You gonna make me buy a copy?
No, I owe you more than a book, but I won't tell you about it. I threw Sharp a glance. You're gonna have to read it.
Fair enough.
Sharp sipped his coffee and surveyed the street. After a long silence, he asked,
"Ever think about Sam?"
"Every day. Probably should have changed hotels, but it seemed disrespectful to run from memories." The previous summer, 2 hired killers had tried to ambush me in front of this very hotel. My quick-witted Pinkerton guards threw me to the boardwalk, and a gun battle raged for several minutes. Sam, a friend and a Pinkerton, had died from a shot to the gut. I had been the only one at his side in his last hours.
Damn shame.
Damn shame, I repeated.
Too early for flowers.
Like to stop by his grave just the same. On occasion, I go up there and share a whiskey with him.
Let's take a bottle out there this evening.
He'd like that. We drank our coffee and watched the traffic wheel by for a few minutes. Carson City was the capital of Nevada, and close to Virginia City's Comstock lode. The traffic in front of our hotel was dominated by politicians and silver barons, and the crafty who had grown wealthy supplying the needs of the other two. The exclusive St. Charles Hotel was only a few blocks away from the sandstone capital, and the traffic this spring morning, whether on foot, hoof, or wheels, strutted like each and every one of them was the cock of the walk. The book's done. I shook my head at the parade in front of me. I want to get out of here.
I'm ready to get, too. Been thinking about returning to Leadville.
Mrs. Baker's doing a fine job. I was thinking south. I like to check on my investments. I laughed at Sharp's lame excuse.
Hell, that store's a small operation for you. You want to entice Mrs. Baker into your bed. Hadn't entered my mind, but I'll convey your suggestion to her. Jeff, it's cold in Leadville. The town won't thaw for months. Let's go to Arizona. It's warm and there's plenty of silver. Ain't America. Hell, we own it. Things are different below the border. There ain't nothing but Apaches and outlaws down there, and territorial law can't be trusted to protect you. That's why I want to go to Prescott. John C. Fremont's the territorial governor. I can get him to grease the wheels for us. You know him? I laughed. Not really, but I've sat on his knee. Hope that weren't recent. 25 years ago, I was 6. Still too old to be bounced on someone's knee, but the old Pathfinder insisted. You think he'll remember your bony derriere? He'll remember how my family helped his bid for the presidency. The Republican Party was new, and he needed New York money and publicity. Horace Greeley provided the ink, and my family showed him the money. I met Greeley in Colorado, Sharp mused. Hated the little rooster. He said, "Go west, young man." But he wanted them to build some sort of Garden of Eden out of this wilderness. Don't expect that's what Fremont's doing in Arizona. Doubt it. Fremont was down to someone else's last dollar when he begged President Hayes for a position. Hayes knew he was a pain in the ass, so he gave Fremont a useless job as far away from the capital as he could send him. That man has failed at everything. What makes you think he can help us? Jeff, that's too harsh. He was a great explorer. Then maybe he belongs in a desert wilderness. Sharp waved at a passerby he recognized. I say we head for Leadville. Lots of money to be made in that town. By the way, rail line's finished, so no need to ride horses. There's more opportunity in Arizona, and a man can move between buildings without taking 15 minutes to bundle up. Steve, I set my mind on Leadville. I'm leaving in a couple of days, and I came to Carson City to fetch you. Spring's the best time to find good claims. He turned his head to catch my eye. You with me? I sipped the last remnants of my coffee to stall. I had grown up in New York City and lived there until a little over a year ago when I had sold my investments, including my gun shop, and ventured west to see and experience the frontier. Jeff and I had been in Leadville together last autumn. I wanted to see more of the West, not revisit places I had already been. Sharp was the biggest private mine operator in Nevada, and it appeared he wanted to extend his silver holdings to Colorado. I was tired of Carson City and wanted to venture away from Nevada. Damn! I couldn't imagine riding off into the wilderness without my friend. I sighed and set my empty coffee mug down. Will you go to Arizona with me after we explore investment opportunities? Yep. Then I'll go with you, but I'm taking liberty. Hell yes, I'll take my horse as well. Transporting our horses on the train will be a lot cheaper than buying animals in Leadville. Something must have shown on my face, because he quickly added, Steve, that buggy lets me carry a comfortable bedroll and food I don't need to gnaw a half hour before swallowing. Must be getting old, because I'm getting to like them comforts. But don't get uppity. I still mainly ride a horse. To disguise his embarrassment, Sharp picked up our coffee mugs to go inside for refills. He stopped at the door. Steve, you might as well know I'm selling all of my silver interests in Nevada. That's why I'm going to Leadville. New start. Claims drying up? Best to sell while they're still producing. I don't like what's happening here. Lot of it, your fault. What are you talking about? That whippersnapper you put in charge of the bank in Pickhandle has turned greedier than Washburn ever was. And those dunderheads at the State House won't support free silver. And Richard's the worst of them. Sharp disappeared into the hotel, apparently to give me time to ponder my sins. The U.S. government had demonized silver in 1873, and the free silver movement wanted silver coinage reinstated. Silver men would grow richer, but I feared it would cause inflation that would erode my paper investments. Richard was my friend, one I had been proud to help elect to the state senate. Despite Sharp's criticism, I had no regrets on that score. The whippersnapper Sharp referred to was another matter altogether. Peter had been a skittish law clerk when I met him. I set him up as an assistant manager at a bank I had once owned in Pickhandle Gulch, Nevada. When I sold the bank to Commerce, he was made manager, and, away from the prying eyes of the parent bank, had built his deposits and profits using dubious means. Something caught my attention in the street traffic. Speak of the devil. It was Richard hurrying directly toward me. What did he want? He clambered up the porch steps and plopped into the seat Sharp had vacated. Without preamble, he blurted, "Steve, we need your help." "Who's we, Senator?" I had no inclination to get involved in state politics. "The Whist Club." "I'm listening." These were people I cared about. "Peter has taken over our hotel and Jeremiah's store." "How?" Jeremiah was another friend from my days in Pickhandle Gulch. When I left the mining encampment, I owned the sole hotel in town. In a gesture of friendship, I had deeded one quarter of the hotel to each of the members of our nightly whist club, which included a quarter share for me. The other partners were Richard, Jeremiah, and Dr. Dooley, who now resided in Glenwood Springs, Colorado. Since Jeremiah was the only one remaining in Pickhandle, he ran the hotel for us, along with his general store. "Peter controls the county, and he boosted taxes on both properties, $7,000 a year for the hotel alone." I almost jumped to my feet. "That's outrageous." "No, it's thievery." "The town owns the hotel?" "The county. And Peter is the county." With an embarrassed expression, he added, "You created this monster." Because I was in a hurry, I had casually selected Peter to run my small bank. At the time, my main concern had been that he wasn't tough enough for a lawless outpost. I certainly never expected him to become a petty tyrant. I was wealthy, with most of my investments in Wall Street. I hadn't taken my small stake in this hotel seriously, except as a way of thanking my friends for helping me out of a tough situation. "I'll talk to Commerce Bank," I said. "No, you got to go down there. I've already talked to Commerce. They said this is local politics and has nothing to do with them. They refuse to intervene." "I can't go to Pickhandle. I promised Jeff to go with him to Leadville." "That's right," I heard Sharp's voice behind me. "Nothing Steve can do anyway." I whipped my head around to see Sharp with a mug of coffee in each hand. "You know about this?" I asked. "Yep. Reason I'm selling. This state's too corrupt. Knock down one crook, and another just pops up like those little creatures at a carnival shooting gallery." "Why didn't you tell me?" I demanded. Sharp smiled and waved his arm, encompassing the whole street. "Didn't want to spoil this gorgeous morning. Life's what it is down south. Nothing going to change for decades."
"You can change it, Steve," Richard insisted. "You can put Peter in his place."
Something occurred to me. "Is the sheriff part of this?"
"Clive? Of course. Peter couldn't handle this by himself. But Clive's been pushed aside.
Now he's town marshal. There's a new sheriff. I hear he makes Clive look like a schoolmarm. I had been sympathetic up to this point, but now I had to bring this conversation to a halt. I was not going to get into another gun battle. Richard, I'm leaving for Colorado, soon.
It's your property they stole, and they beat the hell out of Jeremiah.
What? How bad's he hurt?
Not sure, but I heard he lost sight in one eye. Might be dead. Can't get a telegram out of that hell hole since the incident.
I gave Jeff an angry stare. Didn't want to spoil a gorgeous morning, huh? Jeff shrugged.
Nothing to be done about it now.
I stood.
We'll see.
I'm going to Pickhandle.